Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Well, on this radio show, we will talk to no other than the CEO of the American Veterinary Medical Association, based right here in Schaumburg, Illinois. We will also talk about this new idea called double defense. And I'm talking about protecting your pet, your dog, against heartworm disease. And why do we need a double defense? Why do we need to do something additional to what we're doing today? Veterinary parasitologist Dr. Byron Blackburn will be here and explain, and frankly, I very much agree with his explanation. It makes total sense. And at the same time of providing that double protection for heartworm, which can kill a dog. You know, your dog gets heartworm, the reality check here, your dog may die. You know, so you don't want your dog to get heartworm disease. But at the same time, this double defense that we're talking about still, in addition, for no extra money, protects your pet against fleas and ticks. And we need our dogs protected against fleas and ticks, I would hope, for rather obvious reasons. But first, I have been talking about, let me get my pulpit out. There it is. I'm now standing on my soapbox about preventive care. You know, so many times the response is, well, my dog doesn't seem sick. My cat appears to be okay. I don't need to go to the veterinarian. And my response to that is, well, how the heck do you know? I mean, do you do blood work in your kitchen? And yes, you can contact Dr. Google and get some general information, but that general information really isn't insightful about your pet. I mean, this is my feeling anyway. And no matter how good of or great or superb your veterinarian may be, your veterinarian cannot help a pet they are not seeing. It's obviously difficult to do. So I wonder, and this is where I begin with Dr. Janet Donlan, CEO of the American Veterinary Medical Association, if some pet owners are making choices that are unknowingly, perhaps, we want to do the best for our pet, but still making choices that are not the best for our pets.
Couldn't agree more, Steve. And sometimes our pets hide when something is going on, and we're not sure when our dog or our cat is having an illness, and so it's hard to pick it up. Preventive health care is essential. That way we can help prevent an illness, catch it earlier, and we love our animals. They mean so much to us. We want to do the right thing for them, and it's better to try to prevent it or catch it as early as you can, because then we'll have better outcomes.
Well, okay, so that's the thing. So by catching kidney disease sooner than later, the pet may actually live longer. The quality of life for that pet is going to be better. And also, as you allude to, some of our pets are suffering and we don't even know it, especially with cats.
Mm-hmm. I have a 19-and-a-half-year-old cat with chronic renal disease. And as a veterinarian, I have been testing her so every single year, then every 6 months, caught the early progression very, very early. She's had it now for 7 years, and she's doing great. She wouldn't have been here if I had not done it myself. And that's good for me to be seeing it, because I'm a pet owner, too, in that case. And mm-hmm. so it's meant a great deal that I still have my beloved cat just by giving her the best care possible. Catching it early, right treatment makes all the difference.
But also what I hear a lot is, oh, but it's going to cost me too much money if I go every year. Or I hear, well, they're not going to find anything. Well, first of all, I don't understand that. If you don't find anything as a veterinarian that's bad, isn't that good? So that I don't quite understand. But the second thing is about the savings of money. Actually, if you find something sooner than later, that actually does save pet owners money.
That's exactly right. And there's good things to check. How are they doing? What's the weight? Weight can be an issue for all of us and can cause issues if you don't catch that early. And so taking a good look, assessing how they are doing now compared to last year makes all the difference for their long-term care.
You know, one of the things that I hear most frequently is, well, I know my pet's doing okay. I don't need to take my pet to the veterinarian. And my response to that is, how do you know? Do you do blood work in your kitchen? Do you have a stethoscope at home? So sometimes those signs, there are none. There are no symptoms unless you do blood tests, unless you get your hands on the pet as a veterinarian, which may mean listen to the heart, may mean palpating or feeling around for lumps and bumps, all those sorts of things.
And really checking your cat or dog every 6 months, every year, you get a real good feel for baseline and how they are doing. You can pick up the subtle changes. And we kind of like to see those little critters in here when they're doing well, too. That's a good thing because that does reassure them when you have to bring them in for an illness then because they're not so afraid of us. Good preventive care makes all the difference.
Well, the not so afraid of us is really a big part of it. So we know that one of the reasons why people don't go to the veterinarian as often as they should is they are anxious about it because their pet is anxious about it as well. So getting over that fear, anxiety, and stress, both as the human being about going to the veterinarian, thinking in a negative way. The other thing that I want to turn around, this is one of my goals, is right now if you go on YouTube and you type in veterinary visit and pets, you're going to see video after video after video of pets that don't want to be, dogs that don't want to be pulled out of the car once they realize they're at the vet clinic, or cats that are screaming all the way, and their owners are laughing about it, or at least saying this is to be expected. It shouldn't be that way. That's not, in my opinion, to be expected. We can do better.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. The fear-free veterinary practice is really the way to go. And with our animals, we want them to enjoy their visit. We want the client to enjoy the visit there because it's critical for them. And so there's good techniques to use. We can really work with them to help them feel comfortable. And then you get the peace of mind if nothing is going on, that you feel good because you know you've done the right thing. And if there is something, that we caught it early. So you work with your veterinarian. They'll make sure that there's not a lot of fear in your critters, and it'll be a good thing for everybody.
I couldn't end it a better way. Perfectly put. For further information, avma.org, American Veterinary Medical Association's Dr. Janet Donlan.
Oh, thank you, Steve, for the opportunity.
You know, we've had many veterinary professors, countless, on the show. We've never had, by title, an official distinguished professor, in this case of veterinary parasitology from Auburn, Dr. Byron Blackburn. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm fine, Steve. How are you?
I am great, thank you, but not so great if a mosquito bites me or our dogs. We know that mosquitoes carry lots of diseases, potentially to people. Zika is kind of still in the news. But certainly, if there were newspapers for dogs, it would be all about heartworm, wouldn't it?
It would. It would. And certainly, mosquitoes in North America are probably underrepresented in their importance. You know, we hear so much about ticks, and I know we're going to talk a little about ticks, too, but we hear so much about ticks and what they transmit. But in most parts of the world, and certainly importantly in North America, mosquitoes are still very important vectors, you know, particularly for human diseases. But you just mentioned heartworm and its successful transmission by mosquitoes, a number of species of mosquitoes. So, yeah, we still wage war against mosquitoes, and they're still very important bugs.
All right. So the good news is that heartworm preventives are available, and they do what they're supposed to do. They ultimately prevent the disease. They don't prevent transmission, which is something I bet you'll address. And they work great if we use them, but part of the problem is people don't.
You're exactly right. You're a good parasitologist. You know, mosquitoes transmit heartworm, and of course, preventives are administered to prevent the migration of heartworm after it enters the host. We've done less in the past, not enough in my opinion, to address the issue of preventing mosquitoes from actually depositing heartworm larvae. And you mentioned, as you have many times when we've been together, that compliance is such an important issue, and the monthly or semi-annual use of preventives are difficult for many people. They forget, they don't administer them properly, and then you combine that with the occurrence of resistant biotypes of heartworm in certain regions of the country. We need to look to other means, additional means, additive means of being more successful with heartworm prevention.
Yeah, and the phrase now that's being used by the folks who do what you do is double defense, providing, yes, using these traditional and appropriate heartworm preventives, but for all the reasons you suggested, and I would argue others as well, better idea to use this double defense idea, and that is using a flea and tick preventive, and we don't want our pets to get fleas and ticks, so this product that we're talking about already prevents fleas and ticks. But in addition to that, preventing the mosquito from biting in the first place, which seems to be common sense.
It is. How come it's taken us so long to appreciate that, both as scientists and as pet owners? We've known the role of mosquitoes for many years. We've even known that prevention of transmission could be based to a large degree on prevention of mosquitoes from biting, but it's taken the double defense strategy and some excellent research to really sort of commit us to what we've known for years and to maybe encourage us to implement that strategy with more vigor.
All right, so we're going to run out of time here. So I know you do three-hour talks on this, but can heartworm and does heartworm kill dogs?
It does. It does.
All right.
Routinely and regularly.
So we want to prevent that. That seems clear. But I would imagine there are other reasons why preventing the mosquito bite in the first place is a good idea. One, I suspect, is comfort of the dogs. They itch from mosquito bites just like we do.
Well, certainly so. Clearly when you talk about mosquitoes in your person, you think about the little bumps that you get and the irritation they cause, and we don't address that so much with pets, you know, and we think maybe because they have, a pillage, a hair coat that protects them. It doesn't, Steve. They have areas there where skin is bare and free and open and exposed to mosquito bites, and we know that animals can become allergic as people can to mosquito bites. So primary irritation certainly is something we should address too.
Yep. And where you often talk about this is veterinary conferences, and there's science to back up everything that we're talking about. The product that we're talking about is Vectra 3D. It's one of those spot-ons. It's available through your veterinarian. It will stop fleas and ticks and mosquitoes, and that's important for all the reasons we spoke about. Dr. Byron Blackburn, veterinary parasitologist, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I hope you check out my website. That is stevedale.tv. I write about all sorts of things that occur to me, and one is I was watching one of those morning TV shows, Today Show, Good Morning America, CBS This Morning, whatever it was, and I saw, again, a commercial about bring out the inner wolf in your dog. Well, there is no inner wolf in our dogs. Not the way that people think of it. The truth is that, yes, dogs did derive from wolves, but a species of wolf that no longer exists. And there's just so much confusion about all this. For example, you feed your dog like a wolf? What? In fact, dog digestive systems are more like ours than they are like their wolf cousins. That's true. And I wrote about it. You could read about it in the blog post I did, and you can find it at stevedale.tv. Something else I've been talking about and have been writing about is my hope that the Windy City Kitty, or the Windy Kitty Cat Cafe, Windy Kitty Cat Cafe and Lounge opens in Chicago. I love the fact that we may have, and I do want to have, a cat cafe in Chicago. I mean, my gosh, there are 81 of these places all over the country, and there isn't a single one in Chicago? That has to change. And for more information about the Windy Kitty Cat Cafe and Lounge, same thing, go to my website, and that is stevedale.tv. Also, I have lots of other stories up on the site, and one is about dog flu and how dog flu is spreading around the country. So if you're traveling with your dog, not only do you consider the dog flu that does indeed exist right here in Chicago, even if you're not hearing about it. The dog flu, I'm here to tell you, is here. It's endemic in this city. The H3N2 strain of dog flu lives in Chicago now. It just does. And at this point, it's not going anywhere. So even if you're not traveling, protecting your dog that lives here makes sense. But if you are traveling, understand this, that the dog must, it's a complicated vaccine. So the dog flu vaccine is really two vaccines. So it's an initial shot and then a booster about 3 weeks later. And for your dog to be fully protected, your dog does need that booster. So you have to think in advance, when am I traveling and or boarding your dog or kenneling your dog in any way? Think about it in advance. And some kenneling facilities, in my opinion, are doing the right thing by mandating the dog flu vaccine before they accept your dog. But if you go to them tomorrow and say, I'm going away tomorrow, I don't have the vaccine. What do you mean? You? I need the vaccine for my dog to be here? Really? Well, you'll have no time because you need, as I said, about 3 weeks total plus a few days, really, for the vaccine to really kick in. So think about all of that in advance.